Hallelujah. God is about to release great things into your life through the undiluted word you're about to listen to. Pay attention, as this sermon will grant you deeper understanding of God's word. And now, here is the undiluted word.
Breaking the curses of life. Curses of life. C-U-R-S-E-S. Curses. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 20 to 22. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 20 to 22. Seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people. Now, look at that verse 22 very well. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. NIV will say this is a people plundered and looted. They are all of them snared in holes. They are all of them trapped in pits or hidden away in prisons. They have become plunder with no one to rescue them. They have been made loot with no one to say, send them back. Amen. Let's get it clearer in the Message translation. Breaking the curses of life. But this is a people battered and cowed, shut up in attics and closets, victims licking their wounds, feeling ignored and abandoned. Praise the Lord. Now that's a description of people battered, plundered, stripped off, looted, stolen from. That's a description. Now, those are the things that curses brings. People that are robbed, people that are plundered, people that have been shut up in closets. They have become victims, licking their wounds. In other words, they have no option different from where they are. They have a feeling of being ignored. But there's very little or nothing they can do about it. Curses are real. They are not just imagination of man. They are very practical. You see, one of the deceptions of the devil is to make people believe that Satan is not in existence. Or if he is in existence, he doesn't trouble any believer. But we must understand the real position of God, as far as who Satan is and what his works and operations are. Because if you are oblivious of this truth, you are going to become a victim of life. And the worst kind of challenge for a man to face is the challenge that he doesn't know how to come out of it. You don't see somebody go into the battlefront without first identifying who the enemy is. Your inability to identify your enemy simply spells doom for you in the battlefront. Because you can't continue to beat around the bush. You can't continue to box the air. There must be a target, there must be a focus. There must be something you are exerting your effort on. Something you are concentrating your abilities on. And that's why we must come to the reality that curses are real, just like blessings are real. And you need to understand it, accept it, and deal with it when you begin to see oppression or resemblance of curse around you, so that you know what to do. What are curses? Simply, curses are forces in the unseen realm, and they have power to bring evil to come to pass. Curses. They are forces in the unseen realm that has ability to bring evil to come to pass on a nation, on a people, on a family, on a land, in a place. Just like you define a blessing as a spiritual force that determines the outcome of a man's life. Causes are forces in the realm of the spirit with capabilities or capacities to bring evil to come to pass on the person, on the land, on the place they are operating. They are unseen. We don't see them. They fly like arrows. If curses were not real, then people will not be able to curse. Fathers will not be able to curse. In the book of Genesis, we read how Noah placed a curse on one of his three sons. And of course, the curse stood. We also read in Genesis 49 how Jacob placed a curse on Reuben. And there are many such stories littered in the scriptures. So if curses were not real, men, women, boys and girls, people will not even go into it. So it is foolhardy for a believer to only believe in a blessing and doesn't believe in a curse. And the truth is that the reality of the curse can be either upon a believer or an unbeliever. Amen. Some people have died in the hospitals, for instance, because the doctors couldn't diagnose exactly what their problem was until it was late. Sometimes you find the doctor busy treating something else, whereas something else is actually eating the person up until the person's life is out. You know you are sick, you know something is wrong, you know you are not feeling okay, and doctors are telling you, but you are fine. They are telling you, but there's nothing wrong with you. Everything seems to be okay. Every medical parameter is just all right. But you know you are not fine. Praise God. I said some time ago that in life, we have two channels. Natural operations and supernatural operations. And if every challenge and problem of life is natural, then we can solve them using natural solution. But when you attempt using a natural solution to solve something that looks like a natural problem and it defies the solution, that tells you that there is a demonic undertone. So it will require a supernatural process. And the supernatural works via two channels, divine and demonic. So it's not everything that is supernatural that is God. To be supernatural simply means superimposing on the natural. For instance, it can take 6 months for a wound to be healed naturally. But if the supernatural is involved, it can take 6 weeks, 6 hours, 6 days, 6 minutes, 6 seconds. So when you begin to treat things naturally that should naturally be treated and they refuse to go, you must understand that there is a demonic undertone to it. And that's why in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We've got to understand it. They are not carnal. Because we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not fighting with fellow human beings. We are dealing with principalities, with powers, with the rulers of the wickedness of this world. Those who are kings in the darkness. And so if we're going to do that, then we must take up all the weapons and all the armors of God. So understand that curses are very practical. Curses are very real. Curses have the ability to bring to pass evil on people. There are many destinies like what is described in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 22. The Bible said they are snared in holes. They are hidden in prison houses. They are robbed. They are spoiled. All of them snared, entrapped, enclosed in prison houses. And they have become a prey, and none can deliver them. So, you know, you get a time in your life where fasting is not working, prayers are not working, it's like righteousness, nothing seems to work, seeding is not working, tithing is not working. He said, none delivered them for a spoil, and none said, restore. Even when they have been sapped, even when they have been damaged, no one is willing to say, well, can we just give back to that person what has been taken from him? It is only God that can bring about a total recovery for a man who's been buffeted and afflicted by a curse. John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. John 10 and 10. But I have come so that you may have life and have it abundantly. When things are not working, stop thinking or looking out for the devil first. Look inward. Haggai chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 1. It's very easy to blame the devil for virtually everything bad on the earth. Somebody walked into another man's house, took someone else's money, put it in his pocket, walked away. 3 days after, he's caught. And then he's saying, it's the devil. Now show me where the devil was when you entered that house. Did you see the devil in that your neighbor's house? He wasn't there. So we find it very easy to blame the devil for everything happening. But most times God will want us to consider inward. Examine yourself. Check first. Try to sit down. You know, scripture said in Hosea chapter 4, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In other words, my people are into the challenges and the problems they are getting through, not for lack of faith, but for the things that they don't know. Some of them, they refuse to know the things they are supposed to know. And Jesus was speaking in John chapter 8, he said, and they shall know the truth, and the truth will make them free. So the extent of freedom you enjoy is a function of the truth that you know. So if you are going to enjoy freedom, you must take time to know the truth. The truth of God in every aspect of life. Because for every aspect of life, there is a truth of God. When you are sick, there is a truth of God about the sickness. When you are passing through difficult times, there is a truth of God about that situation. You've just got to know. 2 Kings chapter 7, Elisha came and said, tomorrow by this time, there's going to be so much food in the gate of Samaria. That was the truth of God's ability to provide off and on season. But a man who had studied economics so well and understood the forces that prevails said to Elisha, even though God were to open windows in heaven, this prediction will never come true. He failed to realize the truth and was trying to counter the truth of God's word with facts. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, there are things that will consciously want to cover the truth of God that you know inside of you. Amen. That's why it is very difficult for a doctor who is a Christian to have faith in a sickness that he knows is incurable. Amen. Because he needs to cross from the line of being a professional to the line of being a believer. But he's a believer. So the doctor can easily tell you, you know, for something he knows that there is maybe 70% chances of survival, he tells you God will do it. But something he knows that there's 100% chances of no survivor. In fact, 10 out of 10 will always die. It's difficult for the doctor to want to trust God. Amen. If you have a doctor, who is a pastor or a believer, and your wife is pregnant and there are complications, he will be the first person to suggest CS to you. Amen. He's a believer. He will tell you he's a believer. You see, but this thing, this is what it needs. So, and will preach the gospel and support it and back it up. Because his profession tells him that is the only way out. But we must learn to cross from the facts to the truth. The truth is that the God we serve is able to deliver us from your fire. That was the truth that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to Nebuchadnezzar. The God we serve, that's the truth. He's able to. It's not, they were not contemplating it. They knew it. The God we serve is able to. But if he doesn't, it's not that he's not able. It's just that he has refused to. But the truth is that he's able. And you know, there are certain truths you know that gives you confidence. Amen. You see, when you know what to write in examination, you don't sweat beforehand. You are confident. You are smiling. You already know the answer. So you are telling the lecturer, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. I'm set. Praise God. So when things are not working, instead of spending time to look for the devil where he's hiding, first, let's begin to make a search. Are you in Haggai chapter 1? Haggai 1, 1 to 5. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedek, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, these people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Praise God. Now why is he asking them to consider their ways? Look at verse 6, 7, and 8. You have sown much, and you are bringing little. Now, does it look like somebody's situation? You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe, but there is no warmth. And he that earned wages to put it into a bag with holes. If all of these things are happening to you, tell me how many persons will not go on fasting. Tell me how many persons will not deal with witches and wizards. The ones in your immediate family, and you will go beyond your immediate family and begin to deal with some wizards that are friends to the wizards that are from your family. Because you just believe that there must be something about a witch. Because this look like the witchcraft operation. You eat, you are not satisfied. In other words, what that means is you don't eat what you want to eat. So even when you eat, you don't feel like you have eaten. Amen. He said you drink, but you are not filled. What your body needed was a bottle of Coke, but you couldn't afford a bottle of Coke. So you got water and drank. Even if you are taking water, you still desire for Coke, but you can't get it. So the Bible says you drink, but you are not filled. There is still something you needed. You clothe, but you are not warm. And then he said, even the one that is trying to walk and earn money, every time he puts the money inside his pocket, there are holes punctured in the pocket. What a witchcraft operation. And look at verse 8. It said, thus says the Lord of hosts, do what? Consider your ways. Praise God. So God is saying, don't look for a witch. Don't look for a wizard. Do what? Consider your ways. Sit down and ask yourself critical questions. Are there things that I ought to do that I'm not doing? Consider your ways. So that before you begin to look for the devil where he was having his siesta, and say to the devil, Mr. Devil, you have disturbed me so much. I can't earn money. I'm not doing anything. And the devil said, I'm innocent of this crime. It's not me, my brother. It's not me yet. I thought of attacking you, but I haven't come yet. Praise God. So God said, consider your ways. Think it. Think about it. Could there be something else? Anything happening in your life that is different from John chapter 10 verse 10 is contrary to God's mission. And whatever is less than life, more abundantly in your life. That's what God intends to deal with as we go on in these studies. Praise God. He said, I have come that you may have life and then have that life in excess. You see, everything that God does it in abundance because God is a generational thinker. God does not have a terminal mindset. A terminal mindset is a brief mindset. It's a mindset that thinks for now and doesn't think for tomorrow like Hezekiah. He had some visitors from Babylon. And he was so excited at the arrival. So he took them round his house, the palace. Showed them everything. And then God came and said to Hezekiah, very soon, they will invade this kingdom. And every being you have shown to them will be carried away. If you were Hezekiah, what would you do? I'm sure that some of us in this dispensation will be better than Hezekiah in our reaction. But Hezekiah laughed it off. And said, Lord, since it will not happen in my time, no problem. Let me just sleep on the beautiful bed. And when I die, whatever happened next, that is left for them. So Hezekiah was a terminal thinker. He doesn't think beyond his nose. But God is a generational thinker. He said, Abraham, I'm blessing you. And I'm going to make you a blessing to generations after you. And that's why Jesus said, I have come to give you life. And then I'm going to give you life in excess. In John chapter 7, on the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried with a loud voice, Oh, everyone that thirsts, let them come to me and drink. And he that drinketh out of his belly shall flow forth rivers of living water. That's what God intends to do for us. So every operation in your life, every activity in your life that is contrary to John 10 verse 10, it's not in line with divine mission. And we must be willing to deal with it. The first point we'll be looking at is that there is always a cause. There's always a C-A-U-S-E. There's always a cause. In other words, there's always a reason. There is always a reason for a cause to come. That's what we want to consider. There will always be a reason before a cause comes. Proverbs chapter 26 verse 2. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the causeless shall not come. Here, God is saying, just as the bird by wandering, and as the swallow by flying, so the causeless shall not come. In other words, if there is no cause, if there is no underlying reason, a cause, a C-U-R-O-S-E, will not come if there is no reason. If there is no C-A-U-S-E, there will be no C-U-R-O-S-E. So, for somebody to come under a curse, there must be a foundation. And that's where wisdom comes. That we will try to do everything possible not to attract a curse. Because men are actually attracting curses on a daily basis. People are living their life in such a way that it will be easy for curses to land on them. Praise God. And curses are very dangerous. Curses, very dangerous. In 2 Samuel chapter 1, I think chapter 1 or chapter 2. You know, when Saul died and his son, Jonathan, both of them died in the mountain called the Mount of Gilboa. David heard the news and was so upset. And because of David's anger, he said, Mountain, were you not afraid to open your mouth and receive the blood of the anointed? And David placed a curse on Mount Gilboa. He said, From henceforth, may there be no rain on you. May there be no dew on you. May nothing grow on you until today in Israel, Mount Gilboa has nothing on it. on our visit to Israel, we're taken to Mount Gilboa. You won't see anything. And you ask, they say, because no matter how rain falls, rain doesn't fall on that mountain till today. Praise God. Why? Because somebody placed a curse on it. Was it the fault of the mountain that Jonathan and his father saw die there? Maybe the mountain would have rejected and said, please don't die here. But David said, for allowing the blood of an anointed man to come on you, mountain, without doing anything, no rain, no grasses, no dew. So the mountain is as dried as anything. Praise God. For every curse anyone is experiencing in his or her life, there is a curse. And when that curse is discovered and taken care of, then the curse will be broken. Praise God. Anywhere curses are operating around you or in your life, if you can discover the reason why it came and deal with it, then it will be very easy. You can just move it away. But you know that the devil thrives in secrecy. That's why the Bible says secret things belong to God, but those things that are searched out are for the sons of men. The secret of a man is the strength of that man. The day you discover a man's secret, you have taken charge of 80% of his life. Amen. So when you find the reason behind the cause and then begin to tackle it, you can be sure that the cause itself will begin to go. Oftentimes they say there is no smoke without fire. Genesis chapter 4, let's begin from verse 10. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Thank you, Jesus. And now, what happens? A thou curse from the earth, which has opened a mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee a strength. Now, this particular curse is on a man. So every time that man is walking on the ground, what the ground is giving to others, the ground will refuse to give to that particular man. So you now understand why you can be failing where others are succeeding. The same workplace, the same business, two different persons, two different outcomes. So what is the matter? Why can't I do well? He said, thou art cursed. Why? Because of what you did. First, God said, why did you do this? So there must be a doing that attracts the curse. Why did you do it? He said, for that reason, you are cursed with the curse. Henceforth, when you till the ground, of course you know that Cain was a farmer. So God said, when you till the ground will identify you. So everyone under a curse has a particular demonic identity that everywhere you appear, the spirits around that environment know that this person is not supposed to travel. Amen. This person cannot travel. This person cannot go. So no matter how they allow everyone else, you know, when they bring a sniffer dog around people's luggage, the dog begins to sniff all the bags. The dog has been so trained to be able to note by smell something that is fishy. So when the dog keeps sniffing around your bag, they will ask you to open the bag because there must be something there. That's how curses are on people's life. It becomes like an embargo. Immigration officers, for instance, are so well trained that if they see 100 persons, they will be able to note the person who is not a Nigerian or an American, depending on the country you are. They look at you and ask you a few questions, and they say, step aside. Praise God. But a fellow passenger may not know. But a man who is trained to identify strangers will look at your eyes, look at your mouth, look at everything around you, and then he can be able to say, this one is not from this country. And 80% of the time, they are correct. Praise God. That's what curses does. Curses single people out in the midst of the crowd. Makes you stand alone, even if you are in the midst of 1,000. The curse will just stand you out. So they can come and say, you, follow me. Out of 8, you, 7, follow me, and only you left. And you'll be thinking that you are left there for a big promotion, only for them to come back and tell you, sorry, we don't need your service. And you are wondering, 7, and I'm the only one left. Curses single people out. The Lord shall break curses from our lives in the name of Jesus.
Beloved, thank you for taking time to listen to God's word. We trust you've been blessed. This message was brought to you by Pentecostal Deliverance Church, located at 65 Stadium Road, opposite Mummy B Junction, Room of Mercy, Port Harcourt. You can get our Sincere Milk Devotional and Believer's Training Class Manual and other inspiring and life-transforming audio messages from our church book stand located in the church premises or through our website www.pdconline247.com. Furthermore, our church activity schedule is as follows. Monday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. counseling. Wednesday, 6 p.m. School of Wisdom. Friday, 6 p.m. prayer meeting. Sunday, 8 a.m. lifting service. If you would like to reach us via call, our helplines are 080-3389-0315 and 080-6935-5639. God bless you.